Welcome to Cleaverfield & Rankin's legal podcast series. I'm Olivia Gillespie, Marketing Executive at Cleaverfield & Rankin, and today I'm joined by Shane Conlon, Associate in our Commercial Real Estate team, as well as Donna Sowerby from Cornerstone. Cornerstone is the leading mobile infrastructure services company in the UK. And today, Shane and Donna are going to talk to us about the development of telecoms infrastructure in Northern Ireland as part of the first episode of our Property and Construction Legal podcast series. So now I'm going to hand over to you, Shane.
Okay, thanks, Olivia. So, Donna, how have you reached your position today in Cornerstone, and what sort of work have you done in telecoms?
Okay, so I started working for the mobile phone industry about 21 years ago, initially doing a brand new rollout for 3G when it came in, and then in the last 18 years I worked for a small chartered surveyors based in Belfast and worked on a more established network, which is O2, now VMO2. So yes, it was, you know, when I first started 18 years ago, it was like working for established network. It was like made up of carrying out upgrades to existing sites and also acquiring new sites, and it was a slow build up. But then round about 2012, Northern Ireland imploded because everybody got onto the data. Everybody got used to having data, which was great to see. So we watched like the network get bigger and bigger, and actually O2 made a commitment to the government that they would start reinvesting some of their, as part of their license for some of the smaller communities for them to get mobile coverage and have connectivity. And we did some brilliant work with some smaller towns like Dervock and Mike and Dundrum and Castle Wellin, Cross MacLean, just to name some of the communities, that have got connectivity over the last 5 years. So then from the start of this year, I joined Cornerstone as an asset manager covering Northern Ireland. Cornerstone was a company formed in 2012. Was initially set up by both O2 and Vodafone to help accelerate their rollout. So my role then from the start of the year is basically overseeing that deployment and managing the deployment and trying to get sites pushed through for upgrades and acquire new sites as quickly as possible.
Thanks, Donna, and you're obviously been a trailblazer in Northern Ireland for telecoms, and it's a continued relationship we've had with yourself and also Cornerstone. As Cleaverfield and Rankin have worked with Cornerstone for over 10 years now, so just on that, I suppose over 20 plus years that you've been working in telecoms, how have you found the commercial arrangements between site providers and the operators evolve and change since your initial involvement in the sector?
Well, when the new Digital Economy Act 2017 came in, that changed what we were allowed to offer, for sites. That act was basically putting mobile phone coverage as a utility. It's essential service now. It's no longer a luxury, that we just want. It's something that it's not critical and it's now needed. So this new act brought in that, now whenever we're acquiring sites, the valuation is based on a no scheme. So that has changed what we're allowed to offer. But it wasn't just about saving for the operators, which is critical. It was also, that the operators couldn't turn around and say, we can't get a site here, we can't acquire a site here. It does give them more compulsory powers to acquire sites in villages where previously they couldn't get in, because everybody's entitled to mobile phone coverage. Everybody pays the same bills, whether they're in a rural area or an urban area, so they're entitled to coverage. So it means the operator can't say, we cannot get in there. It now gives them more rights to get in to sites. And if they unfortunately can't negotiate a deal, then they can, use their compulsory powers and acquire sites. So it has changed what we're allowed to offer. But since COVID, lots of things have changed. We're seeing smaller communities that the operators haven't got to yet, realise that they're a massive disadvantage. not having the connectivity, not being able to still work from home, not to be able to have the social interaction. And connectivity opens up so many services, like, you know, have being able to consult with your doctor online as opposed to seeing them. So to be honest, we've seen a big change since the pandemic of communities coming out and going, we'll give you a side.
It's become a lifeline, really.
Yes, they realise that it's a lifeline. We've literally had areas where they go, we'll nearly give you it for free. They realise how critical it's now needed to have this connectivity. So it has made it a little bit easier, you know, the negotiation over the last year or two, you know, as I say, it's our lifeline now, connectivity. Everybody's entitled to it and everybody should have it.
Yeah, and just to pick up on one of the points you made there about the no scheme valuation, I suppose that's been a bone of contention for many of the commercial negotiations in that, and just for our listeners, the no scheme valuation point is that the operators can now demand a lower rent for the sites, and generally speaking, I've certainly found in working with the telecoms and the legal side that a lot of site providers, as Don has alluded to, are cooperative and willing to engage, but obviously the lower rents has caused some contention with certain site providers, and I suppose how have you had to try and navigate your way through those negotiations, and has it been as difficult as you would expect given the legislation introducing these lower rent rights for operators?
It definitely did when it first came in. It was very challenging. Luckily for myself, the first code agreement I completed in Northern Ireland was with a council. And that's where that legislation really helped us, because previously that council would not have given us a site, did not agree to sites. But this new legislation, because the operators can compulsory acquire sites on land, the councils now can't say they can't do deals anymore. So it probably would have been, in my opinion, the most challenging council to deal with, but they appreciated that they needed to do it. They needed to keep it. It was a replacement site. They needed to keep connectivity going in the area. So that code really helped bring councils on board. It's brought housing executive on board that would not negotiate with operators mm-hmm. previous to that. So it's definitely helped, opened up other areas. And yes, as I say, with the individual landlords, we haven't had to acquire sites until recently, and the COVID has really helped. You know, with the landlords that, no, we can't offer you the same sort of money, but connectivity is important. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's different ways, you know, the deals can be done. They can roll up the rent, which some of the landlords like, you know, because it gives them a nice lump sum of money. Or, like, you know, Cornerstone now, like Freehold too, and they will purchase the land too. It has improved from when code first came in, but I think we're at a reasonable level now, that it's still a reasonable amount of money for a landlord, and it's still savings for the operator, which is crucially needed.
I suppose just to pick up on one of the issues you raised there about councils and how they impact the planning elements of rolling out these sites, and I found certainly for the new telecom sites that we've hit a bit of a bottleneck in terms of getting planning permissions through. It seems to be because a lot of these new areas that we're introducing the telecoms equipment to enhance the quality of life for these rural areas are, some of them are outstanding areas of natural beauty or designated areas where certain developments are restricted. So I suppose that's the reason why there's been a delay in planning. But from your perspective, Donna, can you see this being a impediment to the rollout of the infrastructure, and how have Cornerstone tried to overcome this in Northern Ireland?
Oh, planning is definitely an issue in Northern Ireland, particularly for new sites, because yes, Shane, as you mentioned, like, you know, we've some brand new sites that have been planning 18 months. And the thing is, and on the flip side of it, we had one that took 2 months. You know, so it can be done, you know, but our planning is so far behind other evolved regions within the United Kingdom. And I know my colleagues within Cornerstone have been lobbying, you know, to get this, to bring us more up to scratch with the rest of the United Kingdom, because it does have a big impact, you know, because the operator, like any business, has a budget of what they're going to invest for that year. And it's frustrating when we see some sites end up not happening because our planning has taken so long to come out that we've maybe lost the budget to build that site and it's gone to another part of the United Kingdom, and that should have been in Northern Ireland. Yes, you know, we got improved permitted development rights in 2013 and then again in 2020. If we didn't get those improvements, we couldn't have done the upgrade work that, you know, we've done over the last few years. Like the 4G rollout in Belfast was one of O2's best performing cities. I had the biggest uptake on it, and we did that very quickly only because we permitted development rights that had just come in to help us do that. If that hadn't come in 2013, it would have taken years to get 4G rolled out in Belfast, so we would have been massively behind.
And that's changed our lives. That's allowed to work remotely, and I suppose partly down to the driving force that O2 were at the time.
Yes. Prior to that, we would be doing upgrade work and we'd need to maybe deploy an extra cabinet just to help with the capacity of the site, and we had to go full planning for that. And we had one that took 18 months for just adding a cabinet. And it's just so frustrating, you know, and it's... So, yeah, our planning is... It does need a big shake-up. And as I know, my colleagues are lobbying like mad to get improvements on our legislation. You know, because, as I say, we're so far behind. We're so far behind, you know, the rest of the United Kingdom. And it would just be great to see, because we can see the demand is here in Northern Ireland. People want to have good coverage. You know, they see how much we're using our mobile phones, and the operators want to invest in it in Northern Ireland, but it's just the planning just takes so long and so drawn out, and there has to be improvements on that.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I suppose there's a public interest element there too in terms of trying to improve society's ability to connect into the infrastructure UK-wide, worldwide, and I suppose that the rollout of infrastructure is fundamental to that. And just to move on to the next topic, which is the changes to the Telecoms Code introduced by the Product Security and Telecommunications Infrastructure Act 2022. I've certainly seen that's introduced more favourable rights for operators, and the reason for the introduction of that act was to help facilitate and speed up negotiations between site providers and operators to obviously help roll out the infrastructure. From your perspective on the ground, have you seen much of a change filter through and into Northern Ireland yet from these legislative changes?
Yes. I mean, that new legislation that came in, that helps with lease renewals on the operator's existing sites, which were all protected, but now they cannot, you know, they're able to renew now under the new code with the no scheme valuation. And while I can appreciate that's difficult for a landlord that has got a certain amount of rent for so many years to all of a sudden have their rents reduced, because I work at what I've called the cold face of telecoms, where I've seen the amount of money that they need to continuously invest in their network, those existing sites are critical to the operator. They're critical to always need expansion and upgraded. And at the moment, Northern Ireland is going through a massive upgrade. COVID brought up loads of hotspots. They're like popping up everywhere. It's like whack-a-mole. It's like, and it's not in the areas that you expect them to be. It's not in the centre of Coleraine or in the centre of Oma. It's the rural, little rural communities in the middle of nowhere, where people are running businesses from home and they don't have broadband, you know, where they are. So they're relying on the mobile phone coverage, you know, to connect. And so we're getting loads of areas that are popping up going, you know, we need to improve this, we need to improve this. A lot of the towers in Northern Ireland have been there 30 years, and now as part of this upgrade programme, they're having to replace towers. And the price of towers are colossal. Because of the war in Ukraine, the price of steel has, it's like the steel manufacturers now, or the tower manufacturers, it's like, ring me, this is the price this week.
Yeah, they're demanding.
Yes, next week it could be 30% more. So the existing network needs a lot of money spent on it. They're doing a lot of upgrade, replacing a lot of towers, and the amount of money spent on it is unbelievable. But they have to do it. They've got no choice in order to keep the connectivity. So yes, it's difficult for landlords because their rents have been affected. But I know from the estates team, they've done an amazing job over the last few months. The landlords appear to be coming on board with it. There's lots of deals again out there. They're doing step down rents, where they're reducing it a little bit each year rather than going to a straight reduction, or they're rounding it up, you know, over a 10-year period, or again they're purchasing the sites, and you know, the landlords do seem to be getting on board with it because some of them are O2 customers, and some of them appreciate wait, they can't lose the site, they need it themselves to run their businesses.
No, that's I suppose that there are the hurdles that we're going to face in trying to roll out these this new infrastructure network or upgrading the existing infrastructure network. And I've certainly found from the legal perspective, again, when we're trying to agree these code agreements, that site providers certainly are becoming more informed on the code, and sometimes it doesn't facilitate a quicker transition through the code agreement stages to a final agreed position. But I suppose as we do more and more of them, time will tell as to how site providers will react and how receptive they are to the new terms that are being proposed. So just to finish off, Donna, just would like your perspective on how you maybe foresee, you know, the future of telecoms infrastructure in Northern Ireland and the rollout. You know, meaning is there going to be a pushback by site providers given the more favourable rights introduced through the recent legislation that we discussed, or can you see them agreeing that they are subject to it, they can't really fight it unless they want to go through the courts, and will they help and cooperate to get the infrastructure in place?
Well, I hope that's the way that it will go, because they will appreciate that it's a service that's for them too, and that connectivity is important. And I think we're in the middle of technology just imploding, and how much we use it for now. Smart cities is the way, is the future. You know, smart houses are the future. You know, and there's so many benefits to a smart city, you know.
It's to benefit everybody, it's not just the operators,
It's for everybody's benefit, you know, and that's what I hope, is that, you know, site providers, well, when they realise just how important connectivity is for themselves and for the community, they will be a lot more on board, you know, that this is an essential service for themselves, like, you know. The benefit, you know, of having a smart city is it reduces their environmental footprint, or improves transportation, it provides a safer community, there's cost savings with the councils, there's cost savings with the population as well, and we're already seeing it now that you've people that have got like a Nest in their house where they can control their heating remotely, where you can turn it down or up when you're out, where you can turn your lights on and off when you're out, and you know, and the camera system that you've got in the front of your door, you know, if somebody comes to your door, you know, you can talk to them through your mobile phone from the other end of the country. So it's that's the benefit.
Okay, thanks very much, Donna. That's been very insightful and helpful, and I hope it gives the listeners a grasp of what telecommunications infrastructure really means and the practical implications and benefits it has for everyone.
Thanks very much, Shane and Donna, for joining us today. That was a really insightful podcast on telecoms infrastructure in Northern Ireland. If you'd like to find out more about our telecom services or property and construction services at Cleaver Fulton Rankin, please feel free to visit our website at cleaverfultonrankin.co.uk. And if you'd like to find out more about Cornerstone's work in Northern Ireland, please visit cornerstone.network. Thanks for joining us today, and please tune in for our next podcast on the property and construction sector in Northern Ireland.